The AutJet Business Show is your gateway to expert business advice and real-world success stories. Each week, a different leader in the business world will share their tips, insights, and lessons, offering you practical advice to navigate your entrepreneurial journey. Whether you have a business idea or are just starting out or looking to elevate your existing business, the AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Ensure you get these transformative conversations live on Thursdays at 6 p.m. or find the podcast at highfm.com. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome, welcome. Yes, it's Thursday again, and it's the AutJet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel, and tonight we're with Mike Said.
And
good evening, Mike. Welcome.
Thank you, David. Long overdue.
Long overdue. And a lot of people say, Mike said what? But we'll come to that in a second. So, Mike, as you might know, I do a little bit of a business story before we get going. And this business story actually comes from Anthony Robbins. And he says it's around three things. To be successful, it's around three things. It's you need to recognize patterns. So what that means, you need to look out and to see, is there something repeating itself again and again? What is the pattern? Because if you can identify the pattern, you can now predict what might happen next. And being successful is about predicting what's going to happen and taking advantage of whatever that is that you're predicting. But it's a lot easier if you can predict it, looking and recognizing patterns. You know, a lot of economists talk about when they look at the trend of share prices, and there's a nice saying that says, the trend is your friend. In other words, look at the trend and have a look at it. And it works until, I like to add to that, the trend is your friend until the bend at the end, which sometimes happens with some companies. So he starts off by saying, first, recognize the pattern. Yeah. So have a look to see if there's a pattern. Then he says, as I've said, start using that pattern. And using it is around being disciplined. That if you see a pattern, you know how it's going to behave, start using it to your advantage. He says, but the most powerful things is to start creating your own pattern. And creating your own pattern is around discipline. It's saying, okay, in the morning, my pattern's going to be, I'm going to do exercise, or I'm going to do push-ups, and you create your own pattern like that, or in business, the way you operate. So I like to look at it and sum it up in three ways. It's the watch, it's then the do, and then the make. And so that's the lessons from Anthony Robbins. He wrote The Giant Within, which is his main book, and I find it fascinating that he called it The Giant Within, because he's a giant of a man.
A little taller than me.
A little bit taller than all of us. And maybe if we stand on each other's shoulders, not even reaching.
We may.
So who is Mike? And what is Mike Said What? Mike Said is the founder of Mike Said What, a specialist in crafting and executing social media strategies that would work for all businesses of all sizes. And as Mike puts it, he's all about helping you sell more stuff to more people for more money and more often and more efficiently.
100%. My elevator pitch.
That's your elevator pitch.
You left out one last thing.
And what is it?
I finish off by saying, and when should I start?
And when should you start? And then Mike's journey is rich with experience, because his main theme that runs through it is running restaurants, and it's from managing the iconic Longalinga restaurant many years ago to owning his own restaurant, and we'll discuss it, going into another restaurant business, then moving on to head up marketing at Mug and Bean, and later building his reputation as a business and digital strategist. And he's using those strategies, and we'll unpack that a bit later, in his new business venture. But here's the exciting part. Mike is now heading, as I said, where's he going? To Mossel Bay, where he's in the process of launching his brand new restaurant. And you called it, is it something about a steak?
Steak. Just simply called Steak by Rel and Rustic.
Great. So it's called Steak. And There's an interesting concept with that that we'll unpack a little bit later, and he's going to share that with us. But what he's going to share is every step on the way of what he's doing even before the doors open. He's a believer in doing hard things because he says that you mustn't just take the path of least resistance. You must do the hard work, and that kind of pays back. And we'll get to learn from that mindset and what you've done with that. So, Mike, let's dive in. And welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. Thank you so much. As I said, long overdue. Really looking forward to this.
Fantastic.
I think I'm about to be grilled. Well grilled.
I hope you're not going to be too raw. Listen, the dad jokes are for me to make. Let's do it together. So, Mike, just very quickly, and before we go into the other stuff, just talk us through the restaurant and the unique concept about what you're opening up in Mossel Bay.
Okay, so after many years, I've decided to go back into that part of the industry myself. I'm going to open a small little food cart called Steak by Rel and Rustic. It's going to sell one single item, and that is a steak roll. There's something very special about the steak roll, but it's one item. I believe in the ability to do one item exceptionally well and not 10 things mediocre. That's what it's based around. To create the story, the food cart is permanently based at a location in Mossel Bay. It'll be at the Blue Shed. If anyone's been to the Blue Shed Coffee Roastery, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It's based in the garden there, and it will have one two-seater table. Perfectly set up, tablecloth, wine glasses, service at the table, and we're going to call ourselves the world's smallest grill room to give us this little extra. So you can eat anywhere. You can eat lunch at KFC. You can eat lunch around the corner, but you can only dine at the world's smallest grill room in one single place, and hopefully take a picture, post it, and spread the word. So that's about creating the story. And then also the idea that there is only one steak roll. Someone said the other day, what about vegetarians? And I said, well, vegetarians are very welcome. They're welcome to change their minds. And one bite of my steak roll will change. I know it's not going to happen, but it's about building the story and the humor around everything. So what I'm planning to do is to take 25 years of advice that I've given to other people in the industry and outside the industry, marketing, service, differentiation, understanding my target audience, and put it into practice and put into place right now.
So you using the power that it's unique, and people want to have the picture and want to then post it on their own Instagrams or TikToks to say, hey, I ate at the something unique about you, and they will then be promoting you.
So to give you an idea, I have on Facebook probably 3,000 to 4,500 followers, which is a fairly big audience. Of that, on any given day, 200 or 300 might see one of my posts. That's the Facebook algorithm. So even if I post myself every single day, really the same people are going to see it all over the day. So me posting pictures of you is of little or no value, but you posting pictures of me and 100 other people posting pictures of me and my concept, that becomes viral. So it's don't worry about what appears on your own page. Worry about how often you can appear on other people's.
Right. I've never really understood it that way. So, Mike, I know you've got in the digital world and strategy. And so I want to unpack your whole process of how you started building this restaurant even before you're there. But before we get there, just take us a little bit back to build up to that. Your history of where you started, how you got to where you are today.
Okay, so let's go all the way back. Let's go all the way back to 1976, somewhere around there. I'm probably in standard 7 or 8 at that stage. My dad's a doctor, like every other Jewish boy. My mom's convinced I'm either going to be a doctor, and if I don't like blood, I'll become a lawyer. But I'm going to be one of those two. There's not even a question. Standard 8 biology put paid to any idea that I was going to be a doctor. I think I got about 16%. I kind of remember that. In fact, when Sasha struggled with one of her exams, I said to her, you're never going to beat me. I once got 16% for biology. That was the end of any idea that I'd be a doctor. I left school thinking I was going to be a lawyer, went to Wits University, did a legal BCom. Statistics put paid to that. Statistics 101 or whatever they called it. Mm-hmm. That was the end of that. The following year, I came back and did a legal BA, which is probably what I should have been doing. Unfortunately, my mom was diagnosed with leukemia at the time and a whole lot of things, and I just wasn't going to varsity. I wasn't studying. It's a regret that I have. It was a reality at the time, but a regret that I have to this day that I didn't push through. I left university, joined the army, as most boys do. The best 2 years of my life that I never, ever want to repeat,
right,
is the way to describe the army in those days. Left the army and actually joined an insurance company, joined Old Mutual as a broker consultant, as a third-party marketer. So I wasn't selling insurance, I was selling it to brokers. So this was probably my first foray into marketing, my first number of successful years at Old Mutual, moved on to Sanlam for a while. And then one day, my boss and I had an argument. And this was the days before the CCMA. So the next day I was looking for work. There was no comeback. Unsure what I wanted to do, I actually thought I would travel and needed to just kill a couple of months. And at the age, I think at that stage, I'm talking about 27, 28 years old, looking to kill a few months, I happened to walk into Tijuana 220, the Mexican restaurant in Rosebank. I ended up seated in front of Ben Fulmalta, who is the guy that started Mug and Bean, and this imposing figure of Ben Fulmalta. I asked for a job and I started as a waiter. On day one of waitering, the manager turned to the system manager and said he's not going to last the weekend.
Mm.
But 40 years later, I'm still in the industry. So like a lot of people who got into restaurants, I got in by mistake. The most interesting thing was, as I walked in the door, I felt like I'd come home. This is really where I should have been. This mixture of commerce, art, and passion, that's really what the restaurant is. And you can't operate without one of those. So you can have all the passion in the world, all the entertainment, great food, everything like that. If you haven't got the commerce side, the business closed. And this little triangle goes on. I worked for Ben for a number of years, assistant manager, running a couple of the different restaurants. And then in 1997, an opportunity arose to open my own restaurant down in George. And I packed up everything inside a container, a 40-foot container that I bought, shipped the container down to George, which then ended up being my storeroom. And I opened Real and Rustic, the old reliable grill room and fishmonger. From 97 to 2001, those were fantastic times. This was scraping the bottom of the barrel. You need to understand, business in a small town like George is, at the beginning of summer, you phone the bank manager and say to him, send me 10 deposit books and no checkbooks. And the beginning of winter, you said to him, send me 10 checkbooks and no deposit books.
Yeah. So very, very seasonal.
It's extremely, there are only two kinds of business. You're either too busy or too quiet. And you kind of have to balance this and understand where you come from. So a lot of lessons were learned there. Eventually in 2001, sold both the restaurants. I had one in Wilderness as well. Came back to Johannesburg and wasn't quite sure what I was going to do. Worked with my brother a little bit who writes software for restaurants. He's got a little company called Ideal Software. They do point of sale systems. Helped him launch a little program at the time. And then one day I received a call from Ben Fulmalta, the then owner of Mug and Bean. There were about seven shops at the time. And he asked me two important questions. He said to me, do you want a job and are you still employable? And I said to him, yes, but probably only by you, because you'll understand the leeway that you're going to have to give me to allow me to do the job. And he took me on. And this is probably one of the first lessons I'd like to share with everyone. At the time that Ben employed me, Mug and Bean only had seven shops. We were working literally out of a small little converted restaurant in Bromfontein. There was no money. The salary I was offered was really, really poor, but I really wanted the job. And I, speaking to my mentor at the time, and she turned to me and she said to me, you know, Mike, everyone in the world believes they're underpaid. The problem comes in the day you feel undervalued.
Mm-hmm.
Take the job. And one day when you feel undervalued, that's the time to move on. So maybe the lesson to the people that can't afford to pay their staff as much as they'd like to is to say to them, show your staff how much you value them. That's even more than money. Because when I had my first job at Old Mutual, I was probably earning 600 Rand a month. And at the end of the month, I had 29 Rand 50. In the height of my restaurant days, I was probably earning 60,000 Rand a month. And at the end of the month, I had 29 Rand 50. You learn to spend what you've got.
Yeah. So I want to stop you there for a second, because I want to unpack a little bit more of this, but we've got to get more than our $29.50 and pay the bills. So I'll see you after the break.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome back. You're listening to the AutJet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel, and we're listening to Mike Said. And just before the break, Mike made a nice comment about don't worry about being underpaid, worry about being undervalued. So if you can just pick up on that.
So the idea is that if people will work for you, if they believe that you believe in them, it's not so much about the paycheck. Now, you can't underpay people. I'm not implying, that you should suddenly cut people's wages or you shouldn't pay them what they're worth. But sometimes as the company's growing, you're unable to pay them what you'd like to. It's a reality. And sometimes as the employee, you have to look back and say, hang on a second, this is actually one of those occasions. The money's not being held back from me so that the boss can drive a Porsche, whatever. This is, and I saw value in staying with Mug and Bean and learning lessons along the way. So I joined Mug and Bean. There are 7 or 8 shops at the time. These are cowboy days. I mean, we've got no money. We have no budget. I think my budget for marketing in the first year was about 120,000 rand. Now, you can't even imagine how little money that is to market shops throughout the country. But things just exploded. Opportunities came our way. And eventually, I actually created a marketing campaign called Redeem a Dream. At this stage, Mug and Bean were using loyalty cards. And a lot of cards were, people were saving on their cards, but they weren't ever spending it. And we needed to get them to spend the money. And in combination with Cadbury's Dream Chocolate and the Reach for a Dream Foundation, we set off to raise this campaign. And it was an incredible campaign and probably in some way responsible for putting Mug and Bean a little bit more on the map. I don't want to take credit. You know, there are a lot of people involved in Mug and Bean, but that campaign was certainly one of the turning points. And in that campaign, one of the things we also did was raise about 500,000 rand for charity. And it was fun. It was exciting. I was loving the work. I was working really hard. I was marketing for some stores that were doing 100,000 rand a month and others that were doing 1 million rand a month. Some that seated 100 people and some that seated 300 people. And a lot of lessons were learned at that stage. Service lessons, and also about giving. Mug and Bean was built on generosity. And it wasn't just generosity of portion. It was generosity of a lot of things. Generosity of spirit, generosity of camaraderie. And I hope that I've been able to bring some of that into what I do today.
Mm. And then you moved from that and you went into the digital business. Is that right?
Well, at that stage, so the moment came where I realized I wasn't valued anymore. That moment that my mentor had warned me about happened one day and I realized that I wasn't.
What is the thing that makes you realize? So if somebody's listening to us and thinking, well, I don't know if I am valued or not, can you pinpoint what that is?
Well, I can tell you, this was a very particular case. In a meeting, one of the partners stood up and said, I just need to tell you guys, we don't believe in giving shares. You know, you guys will never be owners. We just don't believe in it.
Mm.
And I was like, wow. In fact, I think what had happened at that particular meeting is, at the end of the meeting, I'd said, I wonder if I could say one more word on behalf of everybody. And I mentioned Shackleton, the explorer, the polar explorer. And Shackleton put out an advert that said, wanted men for hazardous journey, low pay, great risk, but what awaits is fame and fortune. And I think I turned around to the partners and I said to them, we're here at great risk, at low pay, working hard, gladly, but we'd like to know what awaits us. And one of the partners stood up and said, shares are not going to be the thing. And I think it was kind of my moment.
Mm.
And I walked in the next day and I said to Ben, I need you to do me a really big favor. And he said, what is it? I said, I need you to fire me. And he looked at me like, I said, what? I said, and then rehire me as a consultant.
Mm.
I need to be able to earn money outside of what I'm doing now. And I spent the next 2 years working for myself. I started my own little company at the time. And the wonderful thing was, having done what I'd done for Mug and Bean, I was in demand. I could not use my skills for any other restaurant while I was any competition to Mug & Bean while I was still contracted to them. I then spent the next 2 years working as a consultant to them until they finally sold out to Famous Brands, the big sale to Famous Brands. And at that stage, I went on my way, and so did Ben and a few other guys from Mug & Bean. And that's when I created Mike Said What. And I work with companies, big and small, on multiple levels. I assist them in understanding who their customer is and what their customer wants from them. Dave, too many small businesses, I believe that the biggest challenge facing small businesses is they cannot identify who their actual customer is. And the ideal customer is the person that you can put their picture in a photocopy machine, run off 1,000 copies, and you'll be rich tomorrow. Mm. That's the person. So if I sit with a new business owner, I'll often say to them, so who's your target audience? And the first answer comes back with everyone. So, well, don't you mean at least everyone with money? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, well, don't you mean everyone with money who lives in Johannesburg? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, don't you mean everyone who lives with money and drives the following car? Until eventually we know what their ideal customer looks like. Now, small business owners are very scared of identifying their small their customer.
Because they think like they're
exactly,
limiting
they narrate
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I say to them, hang on a second. If Dave Zardel, who isn't our ideal customer, walks in the door, we're not chasing him away. We're just not spending our money on trying to find more Dave Zardels. We want to find the guys who are going to bring us the money the fastest. That's what marketing is all about. That's what the correct marketing spend is. Shotgun marketing doesn't work. So we want to narrow our focus and aim at a particular target audience.
So I want to take you now to using all this knowledge and setting up your new business. But you mentioned a quote to me when we were talking before about kind of the value and the order. And just unpack that quote.
So I happened to walk into a company one day. I was being interviewed for some marketing consulting work. And on the door was a sign that said the company vision was make money, have fun, do some good in that order. And I actually said that at the bottom, in that order. And it was my realization that in order to have fun and do some good as a company or as an individual, you actually do have to make some money first. The money doesn't fall out of the sky. I mean, I do a lot of waiter training and frontline staff training, and I always say to the waiters, please understand that every cent that comes into this restaurant comes inside the wallet, inside the pocket of a customer. There is no secret slush fund where the money comes from. In any business, it's like that. You need to understand who your customer is and value them and make some money. Then you can start doing the fun things.
Right, right. So you need, you want to have fun, but you need the money beforehand.
And you want to do some good, and you want to have the time to, I mean, you do a lot of good. I try and do my good. What do? We give our time to Orchet. Right. The pyramid of charities. The highest one, to give someone the ability to earn their own money. So instead of actually donating money, what we do is we donate time and knowledge. And hopefully the people listening today will pick up something from this and say, oh, right, I can do that, or I can concentrate on that. But in order to do those things, you have to earn a living.
Yeah.
We still have to pay school fees. We all have to pay medical aid, pay tax. You know, it is an important thing. So I come to this point in my life. I'm 63 years old. I'm really not a youngster. And I think, hang on a second, what is chapter 64? What's the next chapter in my life? What am I going to do? I'm not quite ready for slippers and Sudoku. Yeah, I'm really not. I'm just, I think I have way too much energy still. My daughter, Sasha, bless her heart, says I am the world's oldest teenager. My tech knowledge, my energy that I've got, and I like to use it, I like to share it. So I'm now thinking, what should I do? And I think it's time to move back to the garden route. Really, I do.
So you had this idea, and then you're not buying a restaurant. Are you buying a food cart, or you're just getting a cart and starting it from free? Take us through the steps of your thinking, but then also the steps of your launching it.
Okay, so my first feeling was that I would like to get back into the food industry. But as much energy as I've got at 63 and three quarters, I do not have the energy to run a full restaurant every single day and night. In fact, I don't even want to. I really don't. But I do want to do something. So this idea came to me that I would develop a kind of hole-in-the-wall concept, be it a food cart or a small little few-seater restaurant, whatever it was, and playing on this mind, and then Steak by Red and Rusty comes about, and I build the logo. So long before I've got any idea what I'm going to do, I'm actually already creating the brand. I know what the sandwich is going to be. I know exactly how I'm going to describe it. I know what's going on in the sandwich. I know how I'm going to cook it. And I'm literally planning all these things. There I am. And not alone. ChatGPT, my best friend, is helping me tremendously. I mean, any small business owner out there who isn't using it and isn't using it effectively is shooting themselves in the foot. It's like not having a cell phone when cell phones were available. Mm. Who didn't have a cell phone? Like, the first thing you do is go out and get a cell phone. First, go get yourself a ChatGPT account and learn to do it properly. So ChatGPT and I, my favorite, my little assistant, are building this brand as we go along. And I decide, okay, it's now time to take the next step. And I fly down to Mossel Bay to take...
Just by the way, you're listening to the story of Mike Said, because you must probably be sitting here listening to this riveting story and thinking, who is this? And yeah, so Mike said he's telling us the story. And so you flew down to Mossel Bay?
So I fly down to Mossel Bay knowing what I want to do. And I have a very good friend down in Mossel Bay who happens to own a number of businesses. And we're going to meet at his coffee shop, which is the Blue Shed. Anyone who's been to Mossel Bay has been to the Blue Shed. It's eclectic. It's crazy. There are cars old cars in the car park. No two chairs match. It's a wonderful little place. And he's actually out at the moment, and I'm walking around, and I notice that there is a cart in there. It's parked there. They had used it before to serve takeaway coffees. And when he arrives, he said to me, okay, so what are the plans? And I said to him, I'm planning to be here by October. I'm looking for premises for my little concept. Something, for example, like the cart you got in the garden. And he turns to me and says to me, it's yours. So what do you mean? He says, it's yours. Wow. So we're not using it. Take the cart. It must stay there. And we literally do a handshake deal. I said, I need this to be in writing, but not in writing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But my friend
confirmed,
Albert and I, yeah. It's confirmed with a handshake. Here's what you're doing. Here's what you can sell. Obviously, I can't sell coffee, but I can sell drinks and whatever it is. And I'm just beside myself excited. I can't believe it that it's all fallen into place. Next thing I do, get a tape measure the trailer. I take a couple of pictures of the trailer. I then post those pictures into ChatGPT and say to ChatGPT, what if this was my restaurant called Steak? What if it had the following signage? And it made a picture for me.
Wow.
So I already in my head I'd visualized it. Now I could actually see it. Next call to my good friend, Stephen Servaday, who might be listening or might not. And Stephen does restaurant design. I said to him, I need a favor. I'm going to send you some measurements. And Stephen made me a 3D adaption of what the cart looked like. Things started falling into place.
So all your previous contacts, all your previous knowledge is starting to come together as one, the restaurant and your technology and the AI
marketing,
and marketing and
exactly.
Everything is coming. And so you haven't started the restaurant yet.
No.
You're about to go. And are you already starting to market it? Are you trying to create a buzz around it?
So I don't want to sell you a steak roll. Oh, of course I want to sell you a steak roll because you're going to pay me for the steak roll. But what I really want to sell you know the story about sell the sizzle, not the steak. I'm going to sell the sizzle. I want to sell the story behind it. I want you to want to come and eat in the world's smallest grill room. I want you to come and eat the world's greatest steak roll. I want that to be your mission in life. I want you to say, wow, I wonder what this place is. I really want to see this place. So you have to start creating a buzz. So the first thing I do is I create the logo. Once I've got the logo, I start creating the branding around it. Once I've got the branding around it, I build my website. My website's up. You can visit thesteak.co.za.
What is thesteak?
The Steak, yes. Okay. Unfortunately, steak.co.za was taken.
Okay.
So I went with The Steak. So thesteak.co.za.
I hope it's the steak and not a mistake.
Exactly.
Maybe maybe not having your steak would be a mistake.
A missed steak.
A mistake, yes.
Yes, if you decide to not come, it's a missed steak. Now I want to start creating a buzz around it. So that's my next thing. So I've already created my Facebook page. There's a steak at Real and Rustic. So Real and Rustic was my restaurant in George, which still carries a fair amount of goodwill, those that still can remember it. And I start to plan my restaurant. So another couple of things that come along. Now I'm looking for suppliers. So who do I contact first? I contact a company called Hartman's Butchery down in George. They were the last people who supplied me 25 years ago.
Wow.
And walking into Hartman's was like coming home. It was like Junior and I have a little hug and a laugh and a joke. And then next minute he gets on the phone and he calls, Willie, you happened to be my rep 25 years ago. And the three of us are sitting there sharing. And they've agreed that on my next visit late in August, they'll take me into the factory to meet the guys who are actually going to cut the meat. So I can show them exactly what I want, exactly how it should be aged and packaged for me. And that if it doesn't meet their specifications, it won't even be delivered. So it's building on personal relationships, finding a really premium product. Then I start tasting bread rolls, and I'm starting to build. And as I'm starting to build, I'm starting to salivate, not just at the thought of the steak, but of what I'm building.
Hmm. So it's interesting that you know exactly, so all your knowledge from before, and you know, for me, a steak roll is a steak roll, and I'm going to be lucky if I buy this or buy that.
I don't want you to be lucky.
And you saying, no, it's not about being lucky. It's about, I'm designing this. I know it's going to be great. If you like it, it's going to be consistent every time.
It's engineered.
Right.
From the sauce that's going on it to how the onions are done to the bun I've chosen, it's not by chance. To the meat, how many days it's aged. I've sat down with the butcher. We've already discussed aging, whether it's going to be between 28 and 36 days and which steaks age better than others and what's my cooking process exactly. So I'm doing my best to leave nothing to chance. Of course, there are a million chances and nobody knows exactly what's going to happen, but I'm doing my best to do that. So what I'm trying to do is to take every bit of knowledge that I've come across over the last 30, 40 years, and what I've tried to instill in my own clients, and say to them, I'm going to show you how easy it actually to do on your own. So maybe I have a little bit more skill and knowledge than some of them. I can build my own website. They'd have to call someone to build their website. But it can be done in a day. There's no reason to get stuck in analysis paralysis, which is what happens to so many of the websites. Like, I worked with so many clients. And Dave, I know yourself. Why don't you have a website? Well, someone once built it and I haven't got around to it. I've got all the information in my head. You know, whatever the story is, do it. We're living in a world where good and fast is better than great and slow.
I like that.
Yeah, good and fast is better than great and slow. Get it out there. Websites are a living, breathing document. I can improve on it tomorrow. I can add that picture I was looking for 10 years. I can add one more line tomorrow. In the meantime, I need you to be able to go to the site. Go, and I'm telling you all, go. www.thesteak.co.za. Please visit the site. And it would be great for me. Go like it. I'm just saying, I want it to be there. I want to start, I've already got a Google Place. I've placed myself on Google. So that's already there. If you go search for steak by Real and Rustic right now on Google, you'll find my page there. We haven't even opened yet, but I'm building up towards that.
That's fantastic. And we're going to go for a break in a second, but when we come back, I just want to ask you, you said that you believe not to take the normal route, the easy route. You got to take the hard route. And I want to find out from you, what do you mean by that?
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
This winter, Hadfield Motor Group's turning the key to your dreams. When you buy a new, used, or demo vehicle from any Hadfield Motor Group dealer between 1 July to 31 August, you're not just driving off in style, you're entering to win your share of a whopping 500,000 Rand. That's right, 5 lucky customers will each walk away with 100,000 Rand in cash. Don't be fooled. Look for the dealership with the Hadfield heart. So if you're in the market for a new ride, head to Hadfield Motor Group today and drive into the draw. Hadfieldgroup.co.za, rated number one in service.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome back. You're listening to the AutJet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel, and together we're listening to Mike Said. And Mike has said a number of different things so far. He says, first of all, it's important to go where you're valued. And you'd rather be underpaid than undervalued. That was the first thing that stood out for me. And the other thing was, identify, if you're in a business, identify who your real customer is so that you can focus on that customer. It doesn't mean you're excluding other people, 100%. But that's the person you're actually talking about. And he mentioned a sign that he saw that said, make money, have fun, do some good, but in that order. You need to make money in order to survive. It's like on an aeroplane, when they drop the oxygen mask, you got to put it on yourself first and then help others, because otherwise you're not around to help others. If you're not making money in business, you're not around to do the other things that you want to do. And a crucial thing, and maybe we'll unpack this a little bit later, and we're already unpacking some of it, is sell the story, because people buy the story. Your stake already, I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, can you maybe send it from Mossel Bay? Yeah, I want to try the steak.
It. I will send you one.
And the other thing you said is, good and fast beats great and slow. It's about doing something and do it as quickly as you can do it. And you're busy building that brand as we're going along. But just before the break, I touched on something where you said often people take the path of least resistance, but you believe in doing the hard things because that's where you get the greatest reward. And my question to you is, one, if you can unpack that, and two, what you're doing now is, I think, fits into that. It's not the path of least resistance. The path of least resistance would be staying where you are, not doing this whole thing. Can you unpack that concept for us?
So first of all, when I look back at my own life, people often ask me, did you make many mistakes? And of course I did. Like everyone else, I really did. And I can narrow them, most of them, down to one single thing, that at some stage I chose the path of least resistance. There was a hard way and an easy way. And I thought, I'll just take the easy way. Whether it was leaving varsity or leaving a job a little bit too early, I often made that mistake of taking this path of least resistance. We do it in life, we do it in relationships, we do it in our health. And whenever we take the path of least resistance, we pay for it later. In some way, we really end up paying for it. So a couple of years ago, I was watching David Goggins. I don't know if many of your audience will have heard of David Goggins. And David Goggins, do hard things. Hey, man, do hard. He does a lot of swearing. I'll leave that off the air completely. But the bottom message is, do hard things. And I started thinking to myself, why am I not challenging myself more on so many levels? Why am I not challenging myself physically more? Why am I not challenging myself mentally more? Just do hard things. And I thought to myself, what benefit is there in doing hard things? And I started doing hard things. The first real notice for me was about 2 years ago or so, I was actually shooting a commercial for a client. I was working with Car Service City. I was sitting in my car, the video camera's on me and I'm talking to the camera, and I get back inside and I want to edit the video, and David, I get a fright. I look at myself and I'm fat, old and tired. And if you think I'm kidding, I'm weighing about 17 kilos more than I am right now.
Wow.
And I look at this and I go, well, you know, Mike, if you don't do something right now, you're a heart attack waiting to happen. Heart attack, diabetes, whatever it is, you're going to do something. And I came across a challenge called 75 Hard, where for 75 days you put yourself through hell, but the results were incredible.
When you say put yourself through hell, like physical activity?
Well, the bottom line is every single day you have to train twice a day for 45 minutes. Every single day, one indoor, one outdoor. Every day you must read 10 pages of a nonfiction book. Every day you must drink 4.5 liters of water. Every single day you must follow your diet, and every single day you have to take a picture of yourself. There's five things. Then you have to give up alcohol. There are a few things. It's not called 75 Hard for nothing, But if you end up doing it, and anyone out there who's done it or tried it will be able to, it's incredible.
And you finished it?
I finished it. I came out of 75 hard a new person. I've never had as much energy as I did as while I was doing it. Everyone said, oh, you're going to be tired, you'll be exhausted, whatever. I was getting up to do my first training session at 5:30 in the morning, going for a walk in winter, didn't really matter, doing work, going to the gym, reading my book. Just it was absolutely incredible. And I came out of the 75 hard and I realized, this is what it's about. You don't have to be Meshuggah like me. Don't get me wrong. Mm. I started doing hikes. I hiked the Otter Trail and the Tsitsikamma Trail back to back. Just literally one day followed by the next day. Wherever I've had an opportunity, I now try and do the harder of the two choices.
And you find that's working for you?
Incredibly. I find myself fulfilled. And look, don't get me wrong. Every now and again, I'm at Mossel Bay. I've just had a nice walk. There's the ice cream stand. I'm having an ice cream. I'm not on 75 hard anymore. Mm. It doesn't mean that every single decision I make is dictated by some... You know, to some people I might seem fanatical, but I don't think I am at all. I'm loving life, and I'm loving doing these hard things.
So generally, we operate on default, and our default is have the ice cream. The default is I'll go to gym another time.
Yes.
How did you change your perspective? Like, what made that the priority? Was it that you saw yourself in the video and you got a shock?
I think when I saw myself, I got a very big fright. I really did. I didn't. Maybe it was the camera angle. Maybe it wasn't. You know, but the picture was terrible. Mm. And the picture was a realization that if I didn't do something, I knew where I was going. We might not be. It was certainly going to be diabetes. If not diabetes, some heart condition. And I knew that I had it in my power to do that. And when I say exercise, I do not run one step. I walk.
Mm.
I try and walk 5 kilometers every day with a weight vest. I train on resistance training, whatever I can. It's not even fanatical, but I keep doing it every single day.
How old were you when you did that?
61.
Oh, so 61. It's quite recent.
2 years ago or so, yeah. 1 or 2 years ago. And the transformation. And with that came this whole new energy and this whole new lease on life. And when the thought came, okay, now I'm turning 64, what's the next chapter? The first feeling was, why am I waking up in Johannesburg? Not that I hate Johannesburg, don't get me wrong. Mm. I've lived here most of my life. It's a beautiful city. We have great winters, dry winters, and we don't get dry winters down in George. But my feeling was, what I do digitally, I can do from anywhere in the world. If I need to see my clients, I can fly up here once a month to actually see them. So Tracy, who's listening, you'll have to catch me on those days to come and do my aught talks. But otherwise, I'll be doing them online from Mossel Bay. So why not wake up with Santos Beach on my left-hand side and the Blaze Trail on my right-hand side and my little business in front of me? As difficult as it is, it's better than staying here and doing nothing.
So that's doing the hard decision, and the rewards will come
follow
with that.
I've no doubt.
So we're going to take another break. But when we come back, I want to ask you just overall, what are the lessons that you would tell your grandchildren or anybody, a youngster in business today? But we'll do that after the break.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome back. I'm David Zeidel, and this is the AutJet Business Show, and we're listening to what Mike said. And he said, what? He said, take the hard route. It actually is easier in the end. If you take the easy route, it actually becomes hard in the end. And what you're doing now at the age in your early 60s is going somewhere else, starting a whole new life again. But you know where you're going. I can see the passion and you're so excited about it. But you're bringing all those skills together that you've learned over the years. And for people who are sitting in Joburg and want to try some of your stuff, I'm sure you'll start selling things around that people can order from Joburg. Is this stuff that you're looking to do, or you haven't thought that far?
Dave, it's excitement stage. I also don't want to get ahead of myself. I know that I'd love to have T-shirts that say, I ate in the world's smallest grill room. I'm certainly going to sell my spice on the side. Maybe one day there'll be 2 or 3 steak carts. Who knows where it'll go from here? Right now, it's a project that I'm loving. I can feel the energy myself. I'm surrounded by people who want me to succeed. That's another thing which really does help. And an opportunity to take 40 years of experience and start again. And I'm not even scared. You know, I'm really not.
Because you're used to doing some hard stuff and you know you can get through it, like your 75 hard, that challenge.
Exactly. It's another challenge.
So if you don't have grandkids yet, but if you...
Thank God. Sasha, did you hear that?
So if you had grandkids, or if the youngsters listening today and they thinking of starting a business and would love to learn some of the lessons from you. You know, they say, who is smart? And who is smart is someone who can learn from everybody.
Yes.
So it's smart is, they say you learn from your mistakes, but it's better if you learn from someone else's mistakes. What would you tell those people through your years of experience? What should we be doing? What should we be chasing? I know you said before, make money, but you don't really chase the money. That comes if you're doing what you love doing.
Yeah.
So what are some of those lessons?
Okay, let's start with lessons to the youngsters out there. Young people just left school, maybe just leaving university, unsure, a little bit lost, feeling like the world's on top of them. They don't know where they're going to go. Let me tell each and every one of you that every single person over the age of 50, no matter how wealthy they are, and no matter what they've done, would swap place with you tomorrow to have their youth again. What you have got that we haven't got is years ahead of you. Some time to make mistakes. That's a really beauty of being in your 20s. You can make a few mistakes. Don't beat yourself up about those mistakes. You're going to change tack a few times. You will settle. You will find your passion. You will find your thing. Stop being so hard on yourself. And stop letting the world dictate to you what you should do. I think that's a lesson right now, is that these youngsters are on so much pressure to succeed, to have the certain degree, to go to a certain school. That, you know, you hear about people not getting into a particular university, going into depression. It might be the best thing that, I'm not saying it is the best thing, it might just be the best thing that ever happened to you. Some chance meeting with someone. So to all of you young people, go easy on yourselves, enjoy your life. But don't make some of the mistakes I made. And the first one is, don't take the path of least resistance. So when given an opportunity to go on a gap year to Thailand, or perhaps a gap year to go and work at a tech company in Israel, perhaps pick the tech company in Israel, because there's more to learn. But it'll be a little harder, won't be quite as much fun, but there'll be more benefit for you. Then those of you that are working, and there are a lot of people working out there, remember, if you're a boss, value your staff. Show them how much you value them. They will walk through fire for you if they believe they're valued. The moment they don't feel valued, doesn't matter how much you pay them or what you do for them, you're never going to get the best from them. If you are a employee, work to be irreplaceable. Look, nobody's irreplaceable. I understand that. I even used to sit with some of my management, because sometimes young people think they're irreplaceable. Then I'd say to them, okay, come over here. Just imagine we have a bucket of plasticine here. Stick your hand in the bucket of plasticine. Pull it out really quickly. You see that gap? That's how irreplaceable you think you are. Now imagine a bucket of water. Stick your other hand in the bucket of water. Pull it out as fast as you like. You see that gap you left behind?
Wow, that's an amazing analogy.
Yeah, that's how fast we will fill up around you. So it's not easy to make yourself irreplaceable. Don't act irreplaceable. Work to be irreplaceable. That would probably, because some people, like, that's what they do. Then we have the people now looking to start a business. It comes that time, you've taken retirement, your job has changed. What advice have I got for you? Do it now. Just do it. Do everything. Do it. You make a few mistakes along the way. And more than anything else, ask for help. Get hold of people like Ort. I mean, Dave, you lectured Ort. I've done some work at Ort. And this is not an Ort advert, but at the same time, I want to tell you, I know so many incredible businesses. I mean, you've had Nadine on your show. Nadine from Sheer Bliss. That's a success story of note. She's about to branch off into the UK. Hello, Nadine. Big punt for you, but you deserve it. You know, and there are other stories like that. The ice cream guy, there's so many. Ask for help. Do it. There are people that want to help you. Don't be scared, but more than anything, good and now. Do it now. Good and soon.
Yeah. So Craig's busy giving us the message to wrap up, but I just want to repeat what you've said. So first of all is when you're young, you don't appreciate the value of youth. So use that youth, use that energy that you've got. Then you said, if you're working with somebody, show value. Show them that you value them if you've got people working for you. And then work to be as irreplaceable as you can. And not that you are irreplaceable, but it means that you want them to value you. Yes. You've got to give them value because that's what makes you less replaceable. Mm. And then you can show that value. And the last thing is, you said, do it now. And I'm going to go back to a quote that you said earlier that I love, which says, good and fast is much better than great and slow.
Yeah, do it now.
Mike, I just want to thank you so much for these unbelievable lessons. I can't wait to come and get a steak in Mossel Bay. I'll do a trip specially to come and get the steak. I just want to thank you. This has been Mike Said. I'm David Zeidel, and this has been the Orchard Business Show.
Thank you.